Hello, and thank you for joining us to Practice Essentials. Today we're talking with Joseph Gordon and Deanne Johnson from Gordon Assets Management. Joe is a licensed certified financial planner and certified investment management analyst with over 29 years of professional experience in the financial services industry and is a member of leading pension and financial services organizations. Joe also holds the Accredited Investment Fiduciary designation from the Center for Fiduciary Studies. Deanne Johnson, Chief Operating Officer and Managing Director of Client Relations, has over 11 years with the firm and assists Joe on client services delivery to ensure that every client enjoys the same consistent high-level experience. Joe and Deanne, can you tell us how to implement four fiduciary safe harbors?
So, Joe, how do a group of doctors in a medical practice protect themselves from fiduciary liability in their retirement plans?
Again, that's a good question. In the past, many doctors always thought they could contract away this liability to a third party. In fact, pervasive through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, many owners of companies thought that they could hire a bank trustee to do this particular function. But in a 401k plan, the investment decisions are generally limited to those made by the participants. And essentially, the trustees in a plan, their job was to scrutinize the plan core investment menu from time to time. So the question really became, where does the liability rest? What is the function of the plan trustees? Who are hired, by the way, by the board of directors or the senior management? Who are hired by the owners? So if you own a part of a medical practice, the chain of liability comes all the way to the top to ownership. People didn't really believe this until Enron back in 2001, but in Enron, when that company melted down, and a lot of the meltdown in the 401k happened because of the company stock issue, which is not germane here, but basically the central issue was the senior management did not think they were going to be held liable because they'd have to be proven guilty under the law. But when you're a fiduciary, you are assumed guilty until proven innocent. So the notion of fiduciary liability protection is central and foremost to decision makers today. People in any part of a company, whether you own part of a medical practice, you're a management person in a medical practice, or actually on the retirement committee or serve as trustee. The actual steps and methods have been various ones used in the past, but in essence, the simple way to manage fiduciary liability is to document everything you do in writing and even share some of the liability. You can contract with a registered investment advisor, as an example, and they will acknowledge in writing their plan fiduciary status and share with you the liability for making these management decisions. So right out of the gate, one of the safe harbors under the law is to share fiduciary liability management on a co-basis with a third-party investment advisor. ERISA, the body of legislation passed in 1974 and with subsequent regulations issued by the Department of Labor over the last 30 to 40 years, basically says an investment fiduciary is anyone who provides advice for a fee or other remuneration. So a lot of people, what they've tried to do in the past is give some tacit advice but not be held accountable because it wasn't in writing that they acknowledged their status, there wasn't a service agreement, or they simply tried to hide behind the brokerage firm suitability standard that we really are not liable for the advice. We simply are giving you suitable recommendations at the time they are made. But you can't do that under the law anymore with ERISA. So step number one is hire a co-fiduciary. Step two is then adopt some safe harbors so that the investment menu that you and your co-fiduciary put forth actually has some basic safe harbor relief. One ERISA regulation is Section 404C, and that is the hardest one to comply with. In fact, today Congress is looking at 404C and they are going to make some changes to it and mandate that some of those regulations actually will fall over to 404A, which is the plan level supervisory requirement of plan trustees. The 404C is basically a 20-step process you have to follow annually in order to guarantee that you are relieved from liability as a trustee for the investment decisions of your participants. If you say you're attempting to comply but don't do anything, you really have no protection and you are running naked, and every participant investment decision, even if that participant puts 100% of their money in a technology stock fund in 1999 at the wrong time and then suffers 80% losses over the next 3 years, or better, puts all of their money in a commodity or natural resource stock in 2006 and then that bubble burst, just like real estate did in 2006 and 7 as well, then you have some potential liability. Under the Pension Protection Act of 2006, a number of new initiatives were made law to encourage plan sponsors and fiduciaries to basically be able to protect themselves, but at the same time offer some legitimate investment advice arrangements to participants. The first safe harbor under that new legislation, and the third one that I'm speaking about today, is 404C5. The acronym is known as QDIA, Qualified Default Investment Alternative. This particular legislation allows the plan trustee to implement a layer of investments known as default investment alternatives and can default participants who refuse to choose or simply don't have enough knowledge or comfort or information to make a choice for themselves to be defaulted into an appropriate asset allocation vehicle. The most common type are target date funds, whereby the only thing you have to know as a participant is your expected retirement date. These have been highly effective and have been adopted by large companies to small companies, and basically gives participants the peace of mind that they know they're in a decent fund and they don't have to worry about it. The second thing qualified default investment alternatives, in order to protect yourself, are offer eligible investment advice arrangements. As a fiduciary, if you think about it, if you bring in advice arrangements, there's a third party giving this service or providing this advice. That in itself provides a layer of protection in the event of a lawsuit. You can use computer advice, whereby that computer model has to be audited by a third party. However, the Department of Labor has not yet issued regulations on how and who will do those audits. And in addition, you can have a managed account service, whereby that particular service is accepting discretionary authority under the law, and therefore they are liable under ERISA for the advice given. These layers basically make sure participants have a better chance at getting good advice, and so they can have a better likelihood of a successful retirement outcome. But at the same time, they protect fiduciaries and give you an incentive to put these things in place. The last safe harbor, which are somewhat similar, is the fiduciary advisor legislation. This allows a plan fiduciary to let any participant engage separately with a third-party fiduciary advisor, someone who will give participant advice at the specific participant level, entering a formal written engagement and providing performance measurement for a fee. Fiduciary advisor services generally are elective and are at the option of the participant for an additional fee paid by the participant and charged against their investment account. The other types of fiduciary safe harbors tend not to be charged to participants on an elective basis, but are paid for by the plan and charged against all assets of the plan. So in summary, when you look at the fiduciary safe harbors available before the Pension Protection Act of 2006, we had the ability to hire a co-fiduciary, someone that would take accountability under the law, be held liable for the decisions made at the plan level and what the core menu investments were and how often they were changed and monitored and so forth. Then you also had ERISA 404C, which had been around since about 1992, which is a 20-step process, but has been the most controversial because it is hard to comply with. And then you have the new layers of investment advice, ranging from the default investments to the eligible investment advice arrangements using computer advice, and then the ultimate level of wealth management and financial planning advice, the fiduciary advisor legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. And Deanne and Joe, if someone had a question about this topic, how could they contact you?
Well, for more information, the best way to contact us is to visit our website, and you can Google us at Gordon Asset Management, LLC. We are the firm in Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill. There is another firm that actually we work with that runs a hedge fund in New York City. And our website address, if you want to just key it in, is www.gam for Gordon Asset Management, RIA for Registered Investment Advisor.com. So it's GAMRIA.com. Alternatively, you can call us toll free at 866-216-1920 or direct dial at 919 in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area code 313-6650. You go on the website, you can find all of our personal emails and you can email us directly, and we do have a 24-hour return call policy. Thank you.
Terrific. Thank you.